It's time for the all-new Gervie's Law, cross-examining the ages, with your host, Alan Gervie, and introducing your co-host, Michelle Lobato. Alan is the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 40 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Hi, I am Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law, and I'm here with my co-host, Michelle Lobato.
Hello.
Wow, that was a real nice hello. You're in a good mood.
I am in a good mood.
What made you in a good mood today?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I just got back from Coachella, best night of my life. Amazing ambiance there. There was so much love. So I'm on a good one.
If that was the best night of your life, wow, what a life you've had.
Wow, thanks, Alan.
I will tell you, you had no better lives nights when you were growing up?
A couple, yes. Maybe. It's just an expression.
You know, I want to jump right into it because I know a lot of people are anxious to hear what our guest has to say today. And I will tell you just a quick background because I don't have a lot of knowledge of this subject matter, which a lot of people don't. And that's why it's an honor and a privilege to have our guest with us today. But when I was young, I was a little boy and my brother, older brother, he had a television show. It was public access. Do you know what a public access television show is?
A show that's available to everybody without cable.
I don't know about that. Yeah, it's a little studio that he went to, and it was on public TV. It was not, you know, there was no commercials or anything like that. And he was a co-host. The show, I'm trying to remember what it was called, something like UFOlogy or something else. It was with a guy named Chris Rutkowski, who was a UFO expert at the time, and he was a co-host. And they, it was many years ago, they had these like really kind of cheesy videos and things that were very low technology, and they talked about UFOs. And that was my only introduction to UFOs. Then I went on, of course, to go to law school, and I studied philosophy. I studied at Brown. I studied logic. I was a logician, not a magician, but a logician. And I will tell you, I never really got into the extraterrestrial or the interdimensional, anything. I didn't even like science fiction movies.
Wow.
And I know you're very different because you're so much more enlightened
open-minded
than I am and open-minded.
Yeah.
So I know that you will have a lot to say because you probably are someone who understands this topic much more. But I want to. I really do. So let's talk about Lou Elizondo. Lou Elizondo is a former senior intelligence official, and he's former special agent who was recruited into the strange and highly sensitive U.S. government program to investigate UAPs. Do you know what a UAP is?
An unidentified
aerial phenomenon.
Aerial phenomenon.
UAP is a fancy name for UFO or a new name, and we'll find out whether he cares whether it's UFO or UAP. But let's talk a little bit about his background. He's an author, and the book is called Imminent, Inside the Pentagon's Hunt for UFOs. Incredible book that a lot of people are talking about. He's a media personality. He's got a podcast tour that he's doing now. We can hear about, started out in Minneapolis, UFO disclosure activist. So he has so much information and people want to hear about what he has to say. The proof is out there is a Hulu and History Channel show that of course is produced by our producer.
Amazing.
Genevieve Wong produces The Proof is Out There. She loves it. It's been on for about 6 seasons. And Lou has been an integral part for the last couple seasons. They're lucky to have him. And without further ado, because we want to hear from him, there's so many stories we need to hear. Lou Elizondo, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Well, thank you very, very much. It's truly my honor and privilege to be with you today with you and Michelle. Thank you so much.
You know, Lou, so many people are excited to hear what you have to say. And I think you can start out by telling us how you got so interested in it and how you had the guts to be this disclosure activist to talk about what the government was doing, any cover-ups? How did that all come about, and why were you able to break through the clutter so people listened to you?
Well, you know what? A lot like you, my background is actually in the hard sciences. I went to University of Miami. There, I graduated with degrees in microbiology and immunology with a focus on parasitology, not parapsychology, but the study of parasites.
That's very scientific versus
right.
The unknown.
That's really my background. I've always been a disciple of the scientific method and always applied logic as a special agent conducting and leading national security investigations like counterterrorism and espionage. I always was a just the facts, ma'am kind of guy, to be honest with you. And it wasn't when I was actually at the Pentagon, I often joke to people I couldn't even spell UFO. I wasn't particularly interested in science fiction. Really, my life just focused around national security issues. So I never had the luxury really to even spend much time in you know, the world of UFOs. It wasn't until early 2009 when I was asked by elements in the Pentagon to be part of a program, which at the time, by the way, for the record, I didn't know what it was. They just needed somebody with my expertise.
Lou, you're making me feel so much better. I really appreciate this.
Yeah. So I when I finally was brought into the program, they were looking for somebody with security and counterintelligence experience. It was only after I got into the program did they read me onto the program. I spoke to the then director of the effort. And he told me that, hey, look, you know, I need to ask you a question. How do you feel about UFOs? And I responded very honestly. I said, I don't. And he said, well, what do you mean? You don't believe in UFOs? I said, no, that's not what I said. You asked me what I thought about them. And I responded accurately. I don't think about them. I don't have the luxury to, because I'm too focused on other national security issues. So that was my entree, if you will, into the program now known as ATIP, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. You know, in government, we love our acronyms. So every acronym, whether you're in the intelligence community or national defense, we love our acronyms. So ATIP was the name of the program. And then later on, about a year and a half later, I wound up running the program. It turns out that, you know what, it's true. There are things in our skies that we can't explain. They seem to be able to outmaneuver anything we have in our inventory. There are five fundamental observables, if you will, if you want to put this in scientific parlance, that separate or segregate UAP, which, by the way, now stands for Unidentified Anomalous Phenomenon. It used to be Aerial Phenomenon.
But anomalous.
Yes, sir, because we're seeing these things underwater. We're seeing them in low Earth orbit. They're not actually necessarily only in our atmosphere. And so they decided to expand, if you will, the definition to something a little bit broader. So now it encompasses a little bit more of what really we're seeing using the U.S. military. So I think one of the common mistakes is people often assume when I was at ATIP, you know, we were talking to civilians and people out there. We were not. We were focused only on military assets and equities. We weren't really particularly interested that, you know, maybe grandma saw some lights in the backyard. We were more interested in, you know, what are our F-18 fighter pilots, trained observers encountering in a combat environment. And it turns out they were encountering a lot. In fact, some of these were an air flight safety issue where reports were made. You know what a combat formation is, right? So
yes.
These planes that are flying very, very close to each other.
Right.
Imagine a UAP coming so close that it literally splits the combat formation right down the middle. So you're talking like 15, 20 feet away.
Wow.
And that really was our focus. We weren't interested in, you know, social lore about UFOs and things like that. We were really focused on the here and now. What's the national security equity here? Is it Russian? Is it Chinese? Is it foreign adversarial? Is it our technology? Or is it something completely and totally different? And if so, what are the intentions? What are the capabilities? We did see that these things are very interested in our nuclear equities, which obviously from a national security perspective is a big deal. But you'd be surprised. The more we looked, the more we found these things were much more pervasive than we had ever thought before.
Wow. I want to know, have you had any personal encounters? Because I know you're talking about the fighter jets and things that people have reported, but have you yourself encountered
anything? Wait a second, Michelle. You're asking about personal encounters.
Yes.
Did you talk to Genevieve Wong?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Genevieve? I haven't talked to her recently.
The Ords. Lou and the Ords.
Well, probably can you share?
But it's probably her favorite story, something that just totally sticks in her.
Well, can he share with our listeners?
Well, of course he can.
Thank you.
But let's be specific, Lou. You and your family were followed by orbs.
Well, let me backtrack a little bit and put this on the context of, it wasn't just myself. It was other individuals that were part of our program to the point where it was so frequent. The term was coined hitchhiker effect. And so that's how prevalent this phenomenon was for us in the U.S. government. So let me backtrack a little bit. Yes, to answer your question straightforward, my wife, my children, myself, even my neighbors were exposed to some very interesting things while I was with the ATIP program. Now, let me preface this for just a moment. Is it possible it was ball lightning? Is it possible there was an electric discharge or perhaps an electrical short somewhere in the house? I was ionizing the air and, you know, the manifestation is a green orb like ball lightning. It is certainly possible. And I mentioned that actually in my book. But the reality is that if you look at it in the broader context of other individuals that were part of the ATIP program with me, those individuals and their families were also experiencing these weird orbs. They were about the size of maybe a volleyball. They were in our case green, like this diffuse green color. Very, very curious. Again, we all saw them. I didn't really know what to make of it at first. You know, we weren't really scared. A lot of people say, "Well, were you scared and were you upset?" No, we were not. It was more just a curiosity, like what. What's going on? What are these things doing in
where,
the house?
Where were you at the time?
I was living in Maryland on a little island where we raised our kids because I was working in Washington, D.C. I didn't want to raise my family necessarily in a huge, major urban area. I wanted to give them a little bit more of a, what you might say, normal life
right.
style was. So we decided to settle down at a place called Kent Island. Which is right outside of Annapolis, right over the Chesapeake Bay. And that's where we settled down, and that's where we raised our children. And it happens to be one of the oldest English settlements in the United States. So there's a lot of history there, and there's a lot of course, you can go to some of these old historical hotels where they give ghost tours and things like that. This was not anything like that. What we experienced were real. And it turns out that other individuals with top secret security clearances in the U.S. government who were part of our effort were experiencing the same thing at the same time. And it started when we got into the program, and it ended after I left the program. And that same held true for the other individuals that were part of ATIP. And so the question is, were these related? Did all this have to do somehow
I was just about to ask you. Yeah. Well, is there a connection? I'm right. listening intently. And that's really the burning question.
Right. And it's a question that I think remains still to be answered. I cannot tell you definitively what it was other than that it happened. And I'll give you another story here that occurred with one of our neighbors. We were on a little family trip, and I get a call from my neighbors, and he said, "Hey, are you guys okay?" I said, "Yeah, sure. Why? What's up?" And he said, "Well, I don't know if you're home, but it looks like there's a disco going on in your house right now. Lights were going flickering and lights were in the backyard." And so this had been witnessed by one of our neighbors. So it wasn't just, you know, Lou Elizondo and his family that were seeing this. There were other individuals outside of our immediate family that were actually witness to some of these events. And it was coined the hitchhiker effect by one of the individuals in my program in ATIP, I believe it was Jay Stratton, who actually coined, because it was so prevalent that it was happening to so many of us, that he called it the hitchhiker effect, and the name kind of stuck. And that I can tell you some very weird things happened. And look, I'm a scientifically minded person. Again, special agent, just the facts, ma'am, kind of guy. I'm not really prone to flights of fancy or anything like that. But at the end of the day, you know, when you experience these things personally, you're forced to reconcile that and ask the hard questions.
Were others also experiencing it at the time that you heard about, or was it just you and the families and the people involved in the program?
It was primarily people involved in the program that we were part of.
See, I'm just being a lawyer here. This is like the cross-examination. I'm trying to get to the bottom of it because it's super interesting and apparently verifiable. But, you know, as you've been asking, was there a connection with someone or something trying to attack you and the work that you were doing?
Well, that's a great question. First of all, I wouldn't say attack. At no time were any of us harmed or injured. Now, I can't say that's the same for others, but certainly for me personally, my family, my wife, my children, we never felt that we were, quote unquote, under attack or that there was any type of negative biological consequence to us. You know, there wasn't any radiation sickness or any burns or anything like that. So we never experienced that as being anything negative. It was just more of a curiosity. But there were other individuals, and there were scientists that we had and physicists that we had assigned to us and other individuals, intelligence officers like me, who all reported the same thing happening. And it wasn't happening necessarily at the same exact moment in time and day. But, you know, you might have an experience personally on a Monday, and then Thursday, a colleague is like, hey, man, something really weird just happened to us at our house on Wednesday. So it was common enough where we all saw a common thread, but again, it wasn't consistent enough where any of us really could determine what it was. I will tell you that the Pentagon, and this has not been revealed yet, but the Pentagon was very curious about this themselves, and actually wound up, because it was so bad at one point, some of these interactions, that we actually had an individual where I believe the Pentagon actually had to buy their house from them, and they were allowed to move out of the house because at some point people were starting to look and say, maybe this is some sort of relationship to Havana syndrome, perhaps. A lot of us had been, you know, in combat and in war zones, and you know, could it be that instead of these orbs just being benign orbs, that actually they're related somehow to Havana syndrome, which, you know, I can't tell you yes or no. I have my personal feeling that probably it wasn't related to Havana syndrome, but at the same time, I can't tell you for sure.
Lou, is there a cover-up going on that you believe the government is protecting information?
Yes, but it's not really a matter of belief. It's been substantiated. You now have members of Congress coming forward, and you have members of even our whistleblowers coming out of the executive branch, all saying the same thing. And in fact, some of them are admitting that they were part of the cover-up themselves. In fact, when I ran ATIP, you know, it seems a little disingenuous, but, you know, the American population was told this entire time since Project Blue Book, nothing to see here. We don't take UFOs seriously. You know, there's nothing here. And it turns out that we had been the entire time being paid $22 million to investigate just that, UFOs. And these encounters occurring over controlled U.S. airspace and other sensitive military installations and facilities. And it was significant. It was something that we were spending time researching and studying.
Could you tell us a little bit about the Kolaris UFO incident? Because I know you said that all of your experiences have been nonviolent and non-threatening, luckily. But do you know a bit about the Kolaris incident?
Yeah, Kolaris incident Kolaris. Occurred in what you're referencing to the events in Brazil.
Yes, by the Brazilian Air Force.
And yes, correct. And in fact, I had the honor and privilege of speaking to General Ochoa himself, who was the commander in charge at the time of the response, the Brazilian military response to Kolaris, where for days, local people in the area of Kolaris were terrified and were pursued in some cases by these UAP and orbs of light. Some had confused it with what they call the chupacabra. Mm-hmm. Some had said, no, these were definitely, these were technological vehicles, to the point where people were actually injured. And there were even military personnel in the Brazilian government who had been injured and had witnessed firsthand, I guess you might call them attacks. I don't know how else to explain it, but they were suffering burns, like radiation burns. There were some of them suffering, had indicated that bright light, almost similar to a laser, had been emitted from some of these and were burning individuals. And there were people that had apparently internal organ damage as a result of getting too close to these things. And so, yeah, I, when I spoke to General Uchoa back when he came to the United States, when he was still alive, he provided a lot of information. He was convinced that these were not Soviet Russian technologies. These were not any foreign adversarial technology, that these technologies were indeed from somewhere else. He wasn't the only one. I've spoken to many senior officials and military personnel in foreign countries who all have said the same thing and swear by it and say, look, this is real. We need to have this conversation because my government doesn't want to do anything about it.
So speaking of this government, why are they covering it up in your view?
Well, that's a great question. Why? I think you probably want to look back a little bit of our history as a country, and all countries really are based in the fact that, you know, we have faith and confidence in our organizations and our institutions to keep us safe. And when a government has to admit, hey, look, there's a threat out there that there's nothing we can do about. We don't know. We don't understand it. We don't know where it's from. We don't know what its capabilities are. We don't know what it wants. That's a hard conversation to have with the American people. And if you don't believe me, go no further than a few years ago with COVID. Look at the social angst that caused, whether you were, you know, for vaccines or against it or anywhere in the middle. The bottom line is it divided not only this country, but it divided the world. And so that is just a small example. Can you imagine the government coming out and saying, well, you know what, folks, for the last 90 years, 80 years, it turns out that UFOs are real. We've known it. We just didn't want to panic you, so we thought it was okay to just lie to you.
Have you had threats to your personal well-being because of your unspokenness and your whistleblower perspective?
Absolutely. And in fact, it's a reason why I have 5 German Shepherds and I'm always heavily armed. Because of that. And if you look at the news now, you'll see that it turns out that there's other individuals who've been associated with the UAP effort in the past, and they're either missing or dead now. So the question is, you know, is there a concerted effort out there to silence or intimidate people like us? I can tell you that myself and several colleagues were directly threatened with our lives. Fortunately, it never happened. No one took the drastic measure and actually did anything against me that I'm aware of. But I was threatened, and I had drones over my house and surveillance.
Wow.
And
we're not going to ask you where you are right now, so you can keep that a secret. But we only have a couple minutes left. I want you to talk a little bit about Proof is Out There and what your role has been in that show.
Yeah, you know, Proof is Out There is a really neat show. I'm not part of producing it or directing it or anything like that, but the folks have really taken an interesting approach. They take these events that have occurred that people have maybe recorded over video or something like that, and they basically dissect the video and say, okay, what are we looking at here? Is it really what this person thinks? Is it something fantastical or something unexplained? Or is this actually just somebody misidentifying, you know, X, Y, or Z, and it's really nothing important? And you have a whole range of folks in there in that TV show. Some of them are skeptics. Some of them are believers. And then you have people that are just kind of in the middle and say, look, you know, I don't really have an opinion, but I am an expert in, you know, video surveillance footage. And here is what I see when I look at this video. It's actually done very, very cleverly. I really enjoy being part of the show. The staff are wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's really, it's entertaining, but they do take a serious no-nonsense approach when trying to decipher some of these events and just determine, look, is this really significant or not?
And I would say hats off to Genevieve Wong, one of the producers, who also, as I said, produces our show. And she's amazing. And I know she's done an amazing job with Proof is Out There, which is on Hulu and the History Channel. In the last minute and a half, I just want to talk a little bit about Imminent. Anyone can get Imminent on Amazon, I believe, or wherever they get their books. Here's a quick note from one of the reviewers. A real eye-opener. This book by Lou Elizondo is brilliantly written. It took a lot of courage for the author to make public what he knew, given the risks he knew he would face. So that's certainly, if that's not something to whet your appetite for Imminent inside the Pentagon's hunt for UFOs, I don't know what is. And the last thing we're going to ask you about is your podcast tour. Tell us about how people can follow you on Instagram and how they may be able to come to one of your events on your podcast tour.
Yeah, sure. So I've been going around the United States. Unfortunately, I had to postpone and reschedule the East Coast part of my tour. It's called Persona Non Grata Tour. Because I recently was involved in a near fatal motorcycle accident. So the doctors have basically said, hey, you might want to postpone that leg of the tour. So I had to. So we start actually in Dallas on 29 May as part of the West Coast tour, and we'll reschedule the East Coast tour. And if you're interested and want to hear some interesting people that I'll be interviewing, you can go to my webpage, which is luis.elizondo-official.com. Sorry, there you go.
So, you know, Lou, we are so happy that you are okay from that accident and continue your healing process. And thanks for being with us today talking about UFOs, UAPs, or whatever you want to call them. It's been fascinating.
Thank you.
My honor and privilege. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Michelle. And guys, have a wonderful day and God bless.
Thank you. And you too. Take care. And that's going to do it for another episode of Gervie's Law. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.